Hello and welcome to this Learning Innovation Unit podcast. In this episode today, we will be talking to Dr. Sally Tuckett, who works in the College of Arts at the University. And if you don't mind, Sally, could you just take a minute and introduce yourself? Tell us how you got to where you are and that path.
Of course. Hi. I'm Sally Tuckett, and I'm lecturer in dress and textile histories based in the history of art subject area. I'm essentially a social historian that is interested in the lives of ordinary people in the past. And so dress and textiles are my way in, looking at what people were wearing, where they were getting clothes from, and what that tells us about the wider society. And so my background is essentially history, and Scottish history. So my focus in research is Scottish dress and textiles in the 18th and 19th centuries. So yeah, that's me.
Excellent. Thank you very much. The focus of this podcast is really to look at your experience of developing a MOOC on royal fashion in partnership with Historic Royal Palaces. I just wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what that course covers and how you came to be involved in that development of that course.
Yeah, so the course is this MOOC is quite unusual, I think, because it's 5 weeks long. So we cover quite a lot of material, and we basically cover 500 years of royal history in Britain from Henry VIII up to Elizabeth II. And each week we look at a different royal dynasty and how fashion, clothing, textiles play a part in those reigns. So if a particular monarch used clothing to make a political statement, or just how clothing was used at court as a way to get social access, all those kinds of aspects. So it covers a lot of ground in the 5 weeks. And the crux of it is the Historic Royal Palaces Royal Ceremonial Dress Collection. So the course came about because Historic Royal Palaces, I think they contacted FutureLearn and asked, is there anybody that's got the interest and expertise to help us develop this course? And so it came to our attention here. And we have a master's program in dress and textile history. So it seemed like a really good fit that we could incorporate our expertise and work with their collection. So we put in a proposal, suggesting a course outline, which became the eventual course outline, which is quite pleasing. And that was the start of it.
I think that's that. Yeah, that's totally what I remember from it as well. And
Good.
yeah, that's totally what I remember from it as well. And I think it was really nice to find that we had an expertise that would fit such a high profile area. You know, the Historic Royal Palaces. What a great opportunity to work with them. And like you say, I think great success there in the fact that your sort of course outline was very much what we went with in the end. So I think that was kind of saying that we are the
Yeah.
institution to help hit this.
And it's not often that happens when you plan a course and it actually ends up being what you planned it to be. That was quite nice.
But I suppose that kind of brings me on to talk a little bit about the development and sort of to think about, tell us a little bit about what you got from that development process. Now, tell us what you think about the mapping process, because we took you through it, myself and John Kerr in the university. We took you through it and tried to show you how a MOOC or a FutureLearn MOOC in particular should be structured, looking at the types of activities and things. And so just talk about what you remember from that process and how that helped you think about what the course would look like and the shape of it. And think a little bit about what you gained. And this is quite an important one because the partnership was really good. So what did you gain from that from you for your area working with Historic Royal Palaces?
So as far as the process goes, I do remember sitting down and looking at those diagrams that you and John gave me of mapping things out. And the biggest hurdle I found, I think, was actually just the different terminology of how I think MOOCs, they're called steps. And it sounds like such a basic thing, but it took me a long time to wrap my head around as just like, okay, that's just a section. That's like, we need a section here on this and then the next section on this. And thinking about the variety of breaking it up, because obviously I'd never taught online before. And in the classroom, when you're teaching students face to face, I think it's probably ingrained in us now that you have to vary it at the pace a little bit. You might need to like offer breaks, or you play a video clip, or you arrange some sort of class discussion to just sort of break up the class. So that's ingrained in us now. But when it comes to the online format, that was a completely new way of thinking about it, of like, well, how do I do this if I've got no control over actually what the student is doing? I'm not going to see them interacting with this material, so how do we break it up? So it was learning to think like, well, okay, what I wanted to be a 1500 word essay should actually only be 500 words. And then what comes after that, breaking up text with videos, with activities, and making sure that that flow of activity and learning process also fits with the content. So it took quite a while to balance those things out, because you might have an excellent activity, but it doesn't actually hit with the aims of what that week is. And so we had to jettison some things because it just didn't quite fit. Others we did manage to manipulate and keep them in, like the rough building task. That was a fun one to build in.
Yeah, I think that's key. I think there was two things that for me that you hit on there that are really key working on these types of projects is the terminology. I think we call things articles, and we're used to thinking of academic journal articles, which are quite lengthy at times. But we're talking about a small piece of writing that's around 500 words, and things like a step just being a piece of content really is that kind of thing.
So to have a step that could literally just be a question for discussion in the chat, that was like, oh, okay, yeah, we can do that. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, there's something else I was thinking of there that is gone now. I wish I'd written it down.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. That's okay. It was the sort of the layout of the course. You spoke around how you were already doing things. You would know that given a lecture, you would then break it up with a video or maybe a bit of discussion and things. And I think that's key when I talk to people about developing MOOCs, is you're already doing a lot of it, but just think about how that breaks down into tiny little pieces. So you are saying, well, we do a bit on, here's the information you need for the history, here's a video to watch, here's to discuss what we've just learned. And it's trying to break that down and section that off into that sort of platform and that environment, I think, is key. But it's good to know that you now think about those things as well, as you've worked through an online development. But the other part of that question for me was, what about the process of working in partnership with HRP, Royal Palaces, was good for you?
On a completely frivolous level, the best part was just spending all the time in the palaces. So the collaboration, they were really keen because they wanted to increase footfall going to the palaces. So this is obviously pre-pandemic when people could go and visit places. They wanted to get people interested in Kensington Palace, Tower of London, Hampton Court, all these key places that are sites. And so it was about building the course into those places and highlighting those as well. So all the filming happened in all these places that you learn about at school, like Henry VIII's dining hall, all these great places. And because we had to do filming, it had to be when they were closed to the public. So you must remember this, being there late at night in the middle of winter, absolutely freezing, but being in the center of Hampton Court with nobody around, and it was just fantastic. So like the kid in me that's always loved history was just like, this is the chance to go behind that door when you're walking around a historic building and you're never allowed to go behind certain doors, and you're like, you could, and it was actually just a 1960s toilet. And that was fantastic. And working with the curators was brilliant. The team at Historic Royal Palaces worked really hard on this, and seeing the logistics that went behind the production side of this in terms of the filming from the palace's perspective was just mind-blowing, because they had to deal with so many different factors that if we'd just done this in the university, I don't think we ever would have thought of. I can still picture all those cameras that were supported by tennis balls because you couldn't damage the floor, all the permission from conservation that we had to get, like, could you film in this place, would we damage this tapestry, is this wall okay, all those things that we would never have thought of. I would never have thought of that they had to deal with was just mind-blowing. And they were, the knowledge that those curators have is incredible. And I think the outcome from the course was the learners loved seeing what the curators do behind the scenes. They love seeing all of that stuff. And I love seeing all of that stuff too. It's just that's what I think is fantastic about this subject.
Yeah, I think as well, I can touch on a few things around that as well, that I remember being in a part of, I think it was the Tower of London, and someone shown us an area, and you just, like, me not being a historian, you just going, they've said, oh, this is where someone was kept or something, and you
Thomas More's cell, yeah.
Thomas More's cell, and you were just like, oh my God, this is unbelievable, really? This is such an important part of history, and me as a sort of non-historian was going, who's that? So it was good to see, and I found that in a lot of the MOOCs, is good to see the people who are the subject experts just really, like, in some sense, geeking out about area. So it's been a great thing for that. And I think to echo what you said around the HRP team, I mean, there was the curators and there was the education team and just the logistics and trying to put it all together to what we wanted and what they wanted. It was a fantastic process to work through and trying to match our needs with the Royal Palace's needs. But the other thing that I've noticed since that is that we have had some of those curators guest at the university.
Yeah. So we've got fantastic connections. I mean, I'm hoping we can still continue with that. But we've had guest lecturers come and teach the master's students on the dress and textile histories program. That just before we all went into lockdown, we were actually in London with students, and we went round the royal palaces. So Larry Lynn, who did so many of the videos, she gave us a little tour of the stores and showed. So the students got to see the stores. So I'm hoping that that's a relationship that we can still keep going, because it is a fantastic collection, and I think I said at the beginning, I'm interested in ordinary people. So royal fashion was a bit of a out there topic for me, and it's just brilliant though. It's absolutely fantastic. So yeah, hopefully we can keep that going. And I think what historic royal palaces do in terms of engagement is something that's really useful for students to learn from, because, and this is something we learned from the MOOC as well, like their remit for who their target audience is, which as far as I could work out was basically anybody and everybody, but writing to that audience and seeing how they engage with them in the palaces themselves and with the digital engagement. Yeah. They do a really good job of reaching out to people. And I think it was nice to be part of something that is involved in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was hard too. There were struggles. I can still remember the debate over whether or not we include the word sartorial, because it was too much of a complicated, people wouldn't know it. And I was like, but they'll, like, use a dictionary, they can look it up.
It's funny how those just little things become so important though as well. Yeah. in this type of environment. Yeah. Yeah, and I think what a wonderful I didn't know about the visit that you said managed to do, and what a wonderful opportunity for our students to get that, and that's through this successful partnership that we've managed. So that's brilliant to hear that. So I suppose the next thing then sort of leads on quite positively as well, in that this course has been massively successful. It's been fantastic. It continues to perform really well on the FutureLearn platform. I think we've got somewhere in the region of, in fact, I'll pull the stats up just now, but we've got, was it around 56,000 enrolments on the course?
Something like that, yeah.
So that's an amazing number of people who are potentially exposed to the University of Glasgow's work and Royal Palace's work. So that's brilliant. But the reaction has been great from the public. But what's been the reaction sort of in your area of work within the university, and also your peers sort of outside of the university and people in that area? Have you had any feedback or reaction from the industry?
It's generally been very positive, I think. Most discussion is around with colleagues who are like, I see you've done a MOOC. What's it like to do a MOOC? And that's been most of the chat around it, and talking to others who've run MOOCs in the past and their experiences of it. And that's been interesting to hear about that as well, because especially if they've done one on their own, because in a partnership one, there are limitations that we had to work with, that palaces had to work with as well. So that changed things a bit. So it seems to be very positive, and just people reaching out saying, I'm thinking about doing a MOOC, and really nicely saying that they want to reach the standard that Royal Fashion presented, and which is really gratifying to hear. And it's good, when you're creating these things, you're just so in them, you don't even really think about it. And the fact that I think the production value is incredible for the videos, the fact that we got all this amazing access to these amazing objects really helped it, and all the expertise that came in. I think the fact that it was a truly collaborative venture. And that, I think, is part of its success, because we've got so many different voices in there that it really, really helps. So yeah, it's been really fun talking to colleagues who are thinking about it and then sort of passing on some expertise. Don't do 5 weeks. Don't do a 5 week course. It's my main one.
I think we've entered into the sort of sweet spot of somewhere 3 or 4, you know. Yeah. That's a kind of That's the 5 weeks are quite massive, and we've done I think one or two before Royal Fashion, but yeah, the 5 weeks are a big course. But like you say, back to what you said at the start, it's around the amount of information that we covered in that, and what a success to get all of that into 5 weeks in a very nice manner. So moving on to the next question, I suppose, is what has this made you feel about what's next for you in online delivery with this whole process that you've been through? I remember you actually taking something, you probably won't remember it, but I remember you asking me about something. I'm saying, you know, and I said to you, like you did in the MOOC, and you were like, oh yeah, of course. And it was about just enabling discussions online with your students. So things like that, I'm thinking around practices, what you've picked up from it. Maybe touched on that a wee bit earlier in the chat, and sort of what have you transferred, and especially given this pivot to the online with the COVID-19 pandemic, how did you feel you were placed after having done a bit of online development?
So I'll deal with that bit first, I think, because I believe that having done the MOOC and seen how online learning can work, that did give me more confidence for the online pivot when we had to go online last March. It's a different way of teaching when you're teaching postgraduate students and undergraduate students in a live environment. So it's a different from that perspective, but in terms of planning, I found it really useful. A lot of the time I had you in the back of my head saying videos should only be 7 minutes. They stop watching after 7 minutes, no more than 7 minutes. so I had that at the back of my head when I was recording lectures and tried as much as I could to break it up into chunks, the smaller videos. Didn't always work, because you won't be surprised to know that I wasn't good at cutting things off. Putting things in a succinct manner. But it was at the back of my head that that's what I should do. And I think that did give me more of an understanding of how to approach it. So if I'd gone in cold to the pandemic without having done this kind of thing, I think I really would have just been like, I'll just record everything and do whatever I can. And actually I was like, no, there's other ways I can do this. It did help a lot with that. And it is something that I would like to do again. I think enough time has passed now. It's something that I would like to do again. But this course came to us rather than us developing it ourselves. So I would like to do something which is actually more embedded in my own teaching and my own practice that I can use for either the postgraduate degree or perhaps as the basis of a junior honours or a senior honours course. So something that's a bit more embedded in what we're doing would be useful. I have used lots of elements of this for teaching, and I've now sort of rewritten some other courses to bring in elements of the Royal Fashion course, because we've got all this material. It's fantastic. Why not use it? So the videos have been great, just putting those up as sort of teasers for topics and stuff like that. But it would be good to do something that's more us from the ground up, so that we can start to think about. So we're thinking about one that could be the basis of a junior honours course, but also serve for public interest. And then if we get students coming to the master's programme who don't have experience of dress and textile history, it's a great thing to point them towards and be like, build up, do this over the summer before you come to us, and you'll get a sense of the kind of thing we're going to be doing.
That's a great idea, yeah.
So it'd be good to have that in the bank as well. Royal Fashion is also great for that. We can point them towards that, and it's now pretty much open for the foreseeable, I think.
That's
So we can certainly do that. And I think it'd be fun to do another one, but I would be more strategic about how to build it more into my own teaching. Royal Fashion was fantastic, but at the time it wasn't anything to do with anything that I was teaching. So
So you've kind of gone back the way in some sense and saying, what can I use from this and work into my teaching now, rather than saying, what do I teach and what would benefit my students and my learners? I think that's a great approach, is to think of it, what is the bigger picture that you're trying to achieve with it? And I think from our discussions, you're already looking at, even with your next project, looking at working with other museums as well. So the partnership thing is still very key. And I think that's a great thing to sort of keep in the back of your mind. And it was one of the big successes of this project. So I think that's great as well. But I think that's everything from me for this. And I thank you very much for the interview. I think to summarize, I would say that looking at what we've achieved and what the course has achieved, and speaking to you today, I think the key strengths here are really around that partnership working, and the ability that you've had to take some of what you've learned in production of the MOOC and transferred to that to some of your other work. No matter that it didn't always work, you always had this sort of the thoughts in your head about what would work. And I think we say that when we do the MOOC development, it's nothing new. It's about chunking in smaller pieces and trying to get that across. And it's a very established practice for a long time in online development. And it's clearly worked for this course, as we know that this course was voted the number one course by Future Learn Learners. It was a pool of learners, I believe, that were polled and said, which course did you take and which did you enjoy the most? And this was right up there at number one. So what a great success for you. Great success for the university, great success for historic royal palaces. And it's great to see that you've enjoyed working on that project and aren't quite scared off and would like to go to another one now that you've got the headspace for it.
It's out there now. I've committed myself.
So, yeah, thank you very much for your time today. And we look forward to speaking to you again in the future when the next project comes around.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye now.